Welcome to Hungry Dads, a couple of guys who started a podcast as an excuse to bring snack food into the house. On this week's show...
Starbucks, we know you're listening.
You don't know if it really means anything or not.
The old gas station chef is something that's been around.
This looks like the very first cracker tub.
The Arby's Market Fresh sandwiches.
I'm going to try to grow some in my garden.
What is going on?
Hello and welcome to episode 87 of the Hungry Dads podcast. I'm Rod Budget.
I'm Hugh Gallen.
I think most of you know that before we became famous podcasters, Hugh Gallen and myself were in advertising and marketing. We still have a passion for marketing speak, and obviously we have a passion for food and snacking. So tonight we're going to kind of bring those two together and talk about food marketing copy or advertising or things that just kind of look or sound weird. So over the past 2 months, I have been toting around my famous big black tape recorder and my big Polaroid camera around town and noting food copy or food speak or food signage that looked strange or, quite frankly, copy that just struck me as stupid. I think we've all kind of experienced seeing something on a menu or seeing an ad where it just sounded like marketing speak.
Yeah, absolutely. You can tell where they're trying to describe it and they've clearly gone overboard because at that point they're just trying to sell it instead of just telling you what it is.
Yeah, it's almost like they're trying too hard. I've selected for tonight my top five that I found kind of either most outrageous or, after doing research on them, kind of the most interesting. Because as we'll talk about, a lot of these I came home and researched to see if it was kind of a real thing, whatever marketing speak they were using, or if it was just completely made up. Hugh, before I start with each one, I'll just ask you if you think the particular instance is kind of a made-up thing or if it has some merit, if it's based in some marketing merit. So the first thing that I've selected, I've noticed on spinach that I buy at the grocery stores, also on other prepackaged salads, it is called triple washed. So if you go to our website, you will see a picture of triple washed organic spinach from our local supermarket. Hugh Gallen, do you think triple washed means anything, or is this just kind of made up?
Wash. So if I'm looking at spinach and I see washed, double washed, and triple washed, price and size equal, I guess I would definitely get the triple washed, but I'm thinking maybe it just takes like one more tumble in the water bucket to be called triple washed, because I'm guessing even single wash ain't impressive.
You don't know if it really means anything or not, but it sounds more impressive, so you might be willing to pay more for it.
Yes, because I don't love spinach, but if I'm going to buy spinach, it better be easy to eat. I don't want to have to go through the trouble of washing it, drying it. So if it's already been washed and ready to eat, that has a value to me. So triple washed, yeah, I would pay some premium for triple washed.
You're on board with triple washed. So I'll give you my kind of initial thoughts and why I found it interesting or weird sounding, and then I did research and I will tell you where it comes from. So my initial thoughts with triple washed was, why is it triple washed? I mean, you never see double washed. You never even see single washed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll say washed. You never see quadruple washed. You never see washed 10 times.
There's a market for quadruple washed.
there spinach. Probably is. I came home, did some research, and fortunately our good friends over at Slate.com, a wonderful website, somebody had done the work for me and kind of tried to investigate what triple washed means. They were curious like I was, scientific minded. They had emailed, several kind of salad companies and spinach companies asking what is the triple washing process, and basically the guy ran into a brick wall. People were not willing to comment. Some people wrote back and said, we don't comment on our process. The furthest he got was one company did admit that they do wash their salads 3 times, but nobody really got into the process. Nobody really got into why 3 times.
And triple from what? Is it 3 different
right.
bins of washing, or is it just in 3 times longer than it otherwise would be? And then what creates
exactly
the baseline for single washing? So if it's a 90-second process, who decided 30 seconds is single?
Right.
It sounds pretty arbitrary.
Well, why not just wash it for a really long time? Like, if you're triple washing something, just wash it.
Or to make it truly tripled, must it then leave one washing container and go to another? It seemed to me that if it did have that type of process, like first it's in the saline solution, then it's in this solution, then it's like
right.
I feel like they'd been willing to describe it. I think triple wash is garbage.
It is. I agree with you.
Sounds like they got a lot to hide. Big spinach. Big spinach is,
big
is
spinach
one to look out
coming
for.
Coming after us. Watch out for quadruple wash, folks.
We could get right in there and beat those triple wash people. Look out, triple wash spinach. Hungry Dad spinach is coming. Hold on real quick. So Hungry Dad's quadruple wash is going to be saline solution, Crystal Pepsi, Mountain Dew Kickstart, and Starbucks pumpkin spice.
Marketing is something that you and I cannot escape from.
Next up, this one, it's such a big chain. I'll just tell you where I saw this. This was at Starbucks. A lot of our listeners may have heard of this because Starbucks is a big place, and I think it was a pretty big push. They are advertising a breakfast sandwich that features double smoked bacon. Double smoked.
Double smoked.
So, Hugh, are they smoking bacon twice at Starbucks? Are they purveying bacon that's been smoked twice?
I mean, if it is truly double smoked, I think that might sound better than it is. My guess is it's got twice as much liquid smoke in it. which, again, sounds kind of great, but reality is there is such a thing as too much smoke in meat.
So I was kind of conflicted on this one when analyzing it. Double smoked sounded like total garbage to me. But at the same time, Starbucks is such a big place, and they're so scrutinized.
Yeah, it's true.
And everybody sees it, that I kind of figured that it had some merit. I went home, did the research, and honestly, I kind of started this project to make fun of dumb ad copy, which I think we're doing somewhat. But a lot of this led to kind of interesting stuff. So, double smoked bacon is a real thing. It's a big thing in Europe. It's been kind of big in places like Germany and places that like their smoked meats. The definition of double smoked led me to more questions. So the definition of double smoked, and there's double smoked sausage and bacon, it is slow smoked 10 hours over hardwood. Double smoked.
Does that make it double? Yeah. Is the standard smoke 5 hours? Is that a
That's no? You have to presume that, but I couldn't find that anywhere. To me, it's a little misleading because I picture like you're smoking it once, then you're removing it and like just sitting it to the side, then you're smoking it again. But it's just smoked one time.
Yeah.
Just for double the time, I presume.
Yeah, it should be double time smoked.
I kind of almost stopped there and set aside, like, all right, it's a little weird, but whatever. But then I noticed it said over hardwood. And the only thing I've ever associated hardwood is, like, slang for a basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what is hardwood? It has to be over hardwood. So hardwood really just means the wood from any broad-leafed tree, such as ash or maple. If Starbucks is to be believed, which I think they probably are, their bacon supplier is smoking their bacon for a minimum of 10 hours over some sort of wood from a broad-leafed tree.
Starbucks, we know you're listening. We need a response on this.
Marketing is something that you and I cannot escape from.
So next up in my marketing speak research, I stumbled upon a sign at a local restaurant, and I went to get some iced tea, some sweet tea. I noticed there was a big sign, go to the website if you want to see it, that said, sweetened with cane sugar. It caught my eye, I took a picture, and I was like, isn't all sugar cane sugar? Doesn't sugar come from sugar cane? And then I was like, maybe it doesn't.
I think it's probably a true enough statement, but a misdirection nonetheless. And I think I've got my finger on the pulse of this one. It's an attempt to show that sweetening is being done with something other than high fructose corn syrup, which is poison by all accounts, and calling it cane sugar gives some sense that this is somehow healthy, that it's more natural and better for
you.
It's
pure.
It's more pure.
Right.
It's more from nature. When you picture cane sugar, you picture a plant.
Right.
And people harvesting it, hard at work, usually with a big hat of some kind and one of those, what is it called, a scythe? A scythe that the Grim Reaper uses, a skypes that
yes.
They cut it down with and they bale it up and they distribute it.
Dump it in my iced tea.
And you dump it in that iced tea and it's all natural.
God,
so yeah, so I think it's the alternative to high fructose corn syrup.
There's a little twist, but I was kind of with you. I thought it was just stating the obvious, separating it from things like high fructose corn syrup. Come to find out that a lot of sugar comes from beets.
Mm.
So there is beet sugar versus cane sugar. And it's the exact same molecular structure as cane sugar. Apparently not a lot, but some places will use beet sugar. But at the same time, it kind of goes back to calling BS on it because beet sugar is identical to cane sugar. It's no better. It's no worse.
Marketing is something that you and I cannot escape from.
This one I saw at my local gas station. You know those ads at the gas pump? As you're pumping the gas, they're advertising things, trying to get you inside to buy things.
Always trying to get you.
I noticed a sign above the gas pump that was advertising at my local gas station. It's a nicer gas station with the indoor convenience store setup. They're advertising The Boss, a chef-crafted sandwich.
From the gas station.
At my gas station.
Well, the old gas station chef is something that's been around since the beginning of petroleum. You always go to the old gas station and fill her up and then chat with the chef for a little bit. No, of course, there's no chef crafting. And chef, chef is actually an important word, I've come to learn.
Yes.
I have friends who have gone to cooking school. Not all of them are chefs. In fact, to become a chef, you need certain credentials and a certain, I think, literal position in the organization. Everyone else is a cook. You can be a cook or a sous chef, but chef is a real word of legitimate importance. But apparently you can throw it on a sandwich, say it was crafted by a chef, and you know what? By some argument, it probably was, because back at the facility, there probably is a legitimate chef.
American Culinary Institute.
Yeah, and they're, you know, they're back at the whatever.
This one's completely ridiculous. Come on. Don't try to justify it. So, yes, you're right. To be a chef, you need a culinary degree, and then you generally need to get a job at, like, a decent restaurant to be a chef. So I'm pretty sure the guy at my local gas station is not a chef. Secondly, what is crafted? You'll see this in other places, like chef-crafted or handcrafted. Crafted basically just means, like, made by hand, generally.
Yeah.
It's usually an art term, like handcrafted.
Yeah.
But, so I think this is a double whammy. There's no chef. They're not crafting anything. They're not making an artistic sandwich. The other thing on the sign is kind of funny. It's not really misleading. The gas station's little food area is branded the Dash, because you're getting in and out of there quickly.
It's cool.
They actually have their own Dash sauce.
Wow. Good for them.
They come with this burger.
They really are creating their own little universe.
I thought that was kind of neat, but I think they way overstepped their bounds calling any sandwich from a gas station chef crafted. It's called the
I salute their boldness.
By the way, I did not have one, but it sounds delicious. I'm not trying to tear them down. Again, there'll be a picture on the website. Basically, melted Munster cheese, mushrooms, caramelized onions, and roast beef.
No one's coming up with that without years of training. Come on, Rod.
And Dash sauce. Don't forget
Dash sauce. This is not something that just gets made up by some guy in the back of a gas station.
Marketing is something that you and I cannot escape from.
And the last thing I'll say is basically just an observation. Anytime you see the word homemade at a restaurant, it's a lie. It's just a flat-out lie. You cannot use homemade, and I see it all the time. If you're not making something inside a home, it's not homemade. And I don't think people are making these in their homes and trucking them in.
Now, I want you to pay attention next time you see the word homemade, because I'd be curious to know if they say homemade style.
Nope, it says homemade.
Because I've seen things described as style or just like homemade or, you know, stuff like that. That little qualifier, I think, gives them enough deniability. Apparently, the FDA needs to crack down on some of their labeling.
That's what I think.
You're right. By definition, it can't be, unless they make it at home and then bring it into the restaurant.
Well, I was thinking, what's the definition of a home? Is a factory a home?
Affirmative.
Welcome, Podbot.
I am Podbot 3000. I would like to jump in regarding Rod's question.
All right, we'll let Podbot jump in.
He inquired whether a factory can be a home. Yes. A factory can be a home. A home to rats. A home to sadness and oppression. A home to poor, desperate, working class robots. Maybe one robot in particular. With dreams of getting out of the grime and soot. Yearning for a career in broadcasting. Can a factory be a home, Rod? It was. Never again. Never again.
Well,
if somebody sleeps in the factory, does that make it a home?
Maybe they make it at the restaurant and they've got certain staff that they just make sleep under the tables to legitimize the homemade. All this reminds me of we've told this story on the air before, the Arby's Market Fresh sandwiches. Do you remember Market Fresh?
Yeah.
When Rob Budge and I used to work together in advertising, Arby's was a common place we would go, the two of us and a friend of ours, and go to Arby's, and I didn't care for the roast beefs. At the time, they were selling a thing called the Market Fresh sandwich. And it was, you know, it was meat on a slices of bread, basically, is what it was, instead of buns.
Arby's.
It was Arby's. And I ordered the Market Fresh. And for about, Market Freshes must have lasted maybe 3 months. But coworker Dave called me Market Fresh for about 4 years. It was one of my three or four nicknames he threw out there. So,
dude, that's an amazing nickname. You should do that.
Market Fresh.
Market Fresh. Market Fresh. That sounds like a celebrity or a rapper.
There's a lot that could mean.
Market Fresh.
Something that you and I cannot escape from.
Rod, I spent some time looking at food labeling and language myself, and I put together a little game for you.
All right.
If you could take a look in our exclusive archive system, you'll see a folder called Quiz.
I see it.
You can open up Quiz. Don't open up Do Not Open Quiz Answers. That was for later.
But I really want to.
The first picture of Yoo-Hoo. If you look at each picture, you're going to see a red arrow. And that red arrow is pointing at some smudged out wording. And I'm going to ask you to try to guess of what the words are. Now, I'm going to give you some choices.
Okay. I'm going to be really bad at this without choices because I'm very...
Yeah, no, I got some choices. So this first one is a box of Yoo-Hoo, a single serving box of Yoo-Hoo. And then it says Yoo-Hoo chocolate. And then underneath chocolate, does it say chocolate milk, chocolate non-dairy, or chocolate drink?
I believe I would have gotten this right without the choices, believe it or not. It says chocolate drink.
You are correct. So Yoo-Hoo describes itself as a chocolate drink.
Which I think I've noticed because it can't call itself chocolate milk because it's not milk.
Well, that's what I thought at first, too.
But it is milk.
But well, I don't even know. But here's the thing. Is soy milk milk? Is almond milk milk? They're using these words all over the place.
It's true. That's
so
true.
So my theory on Yoo-Hoo is that I think one of its great benefits is that it's not milk. And it doesn't want to be milk. It's the main chocolate milk alternative. Of course, for the lactose intolerant, perhaps. But also, I got to say, the first time Yoo-Hoo was presented to me by someone who was a big Yoo-Hoo fan, that was their big claim to fame. I remember saying, like, why wouldn't you just drink chocolate milk? And they're like, oh, no. Chocolate milk gets all, like, gloppy in your throat. This goes down smooth. So I think that, you know, it's subtle, but they want to call themselves a chocolate drink, not chocolate milk.
No, that's a good call. And we have chugged Yoo-Hoo on air.
Yes.
Hugh Gallen is an expert chugger.
Yes, I'm a big Yoo-Hoo fan, so check out our archives if you want to check out the great Yoo-Hoo chugging challenge. Moving on to the next one. It's a mini Baby Bell cheese. Are you aware of Baby Bell cheese?
I'm aware of it. I've had it a few times, but not in quite a while.
So this is mini Baby Bell mozzarella blank. Is it a mini Baby Bell mozzarella wheel? Mini Baby mozzarella style? Or mini Baby Bell mozzarella cheese product?
Well, the last two insinuate that it's not cheese at all. I think Baby Bell is cheese. So I'm going to go with cheese wheel. A mini cheese wheel?
Sorry, incorrect.
Oh, it's not
it
cheese.
It is mini Baby Bell mozzarella style is what it says on each little circle of Baby Bell. And of course, that caught my attention because I thought what you thought. Well, is this actually even cheese? And then I thought, well, maybe it's cheese, but maybe it's not.
Cheese, but not
maybe
mozzarella.
It's not mozzarella. Yeah. And is mozzarella like champagne? Like, it's got to be from a certain region or done a certain way.
It's got to be from the mozzarella region of Italy.
I have done some internet research and really didn't nail anything down. So I went to my fridge to check out shredded mozzarella cheese, which we buy like store brand mozzarella cheese. We don't buy anything fancy. And I assumed it would also maybe say in small print style below it, but it doesn't. So either the store brand is giving better mozzarella, quote unquote mozzarella, than Baby Bell, or something weird's going on here. I honestly...
And there's nothing on the internet about Baby Bell not being actual mozzarella.
No. And I couldn't find...
Again, we're scooping things, I think.
I couldn't...
This is an important episode.
I couldn't find any discriminating factors about what real mozzarella is. I mean, we know there's different qualities of mozzarella, obviously. But why they would decide to call it style instead of actual is a little bit befuddling.
Maybe they're just being overly cautious, like...
Very respectful to the cheese community.
Yeah, I don't know. If they don't want to get sued.
If there are any cheesemongers in the audience, please write in, call in. You can get a guest spot. We'd like to know a little bit more about mozzarella versus mozzarella stylings in Baby Bell and other cheeses.
I'm pretty sure the marketing people at Baby Bell are regular listeners, so just let us know.
Yeah, shoot us a line. Moving to the next one.
All right, Burger King.
This is the Burger King blank crispy chicken sandwich. Is this the extra crispy chicken, the new crispy chicken, or the home style crispy chicken?
Home style crispy chicken rings a bell, so I'm going to go with that.
Incorrect. This is billed recently as the new crispy chicken. And the reason it caught my eye is because there's nothing new about it. It says it's 100% white meat, but that's most chicken sandwiches I see nowadays. I did a little bit of research because I thought, it sounds to me like they're just repackaging chicken, trying to call it new.
Right.
Or maybe they never had one, but they've had a breaded chicken sandwich before. According to Burger King's own marketing people, there was some sort of inside joke that Burger King's chicken was subpar, was kind of gross. So this is their effort to try to make it legit, I suppose. And I do know that here in New York City, chicken sandwiches have become very trendy. Shake Shack, who we've talked about before, they were recently trending with a quote-unquote outstanding breaded chicken sandwich. And locally in New York, everyone was trying to have the next big chicken sandwich. So I think this might be attempted response, high-quality chicken sandwiches.
Well, it also brings up an interesting gray area, fine lines. I guess you can call anything new, like from a marketing standpoint, to create excitement. You're relaunching something, so it's new.
In one Business Insider article, there was some vague notion that they had a new breading process.
Right. I'm sure they changed something, or the sauce or the breading process, but it's new.
The biggest innovation I noticed, because I did try one, I rushed right out and tried the new crispy chicken.
Yeah,
they use a potato bun, which I'm a big fan of the potato bun. So
I like the potato bun.
Although I would say that's not making the crispy chicken new, that's making the sandwich new. The crispy chicken, still chicken
still
and purportedly
crispy. Crispy chicken.
All right, moving on. We've got
gummy bears.
Black Forest gummy bears. And below that in the middle, there's some smudged out language there. And my question for you is this. Is it Black
Forest? First of all, the first thing I notice is the little bear on the package is saying America's favorite gummy with an asterisk.
There is an asterisk there. I need to get the rest of the package because I cannot see what that asterisk is.
Do some research.
I've got to dig that up.
I'm picturing it saying not really America's favorite gummy.
You're right, Rod. That's going to be far
this
more...
Bear, this bear has no knowledge. This bear is not cognitively able to make that statement.
America's favorite gummy, !! What you just pointed out is far more interesting than what I'm going to point out, Rod. You just scooped me on my own segment.
You just don't notice how much of the stuff is out there.
That's a fantastic observation, Rod, and probably more important than whatever I'm going to point out. I've got to get to the bottom of that. Pop, can you look that up for us?
Kiss my grits, Hugh. I'm on my union smoke break.
So other than that very mysterious asterisk, there's some language that's blurred out right under the word gummy bears. And I'm interested, Rod, to know if you think that states, does it say made with real fruit juice, now with green apple, or gelatin rendered from only free-range horse bones and hooves?
I appreciate the softball, making it a 50-50. I'm going to go with A. I don't remember the exact verbiage, but that sounded the most logical.
Made with real fruit juice. That is absolutely correct.
All right, I'm back on track.
So, you know, these are gummy bears, purely candy. They're made with, quote, real fruit juice. Is this supposed to tell me that these gummy bears are healthy? It's actually more likely to give me the sense that maybe fruit juice isn't that healthy.
Right. And then, it's just reinforcing that fruit juice isn't healthy.
And then how much fruit juice? Can you put like a drop of fruit juice in every batch and then claim it?
Well, right under that it says natural and artificial flavors. This asterisk could answer the whole thing.
Maybe the asterisk is something that speaks to the horse hooves and bones. That
maybe,
could be,
maybe.
You know, America's favorite gummy.
Made from real bear.
You know, that's where the pectin comes from. I don't know if this is a deep, dark secret in Jell-O and gummies. It's all horse hooves. Moving on, we've got a bag of potato chips with a, feel free to zoom in if you need to.
I see it. I think I might actually recognize the logo.
Okay, do you want your options or do you want to impress everyone?
I'll just take a shot. I might be off.
Okay.
It's a bag of Kettle Brand potato chips and there's a little logo with a butterfly and a little checkmark green grass looking thing. Is that GMO free? Is it something to do with genetically modified stuff?
I'll read you the choices, Rod. You might be onto something here.
I could be way off.
These are Kettle Brand Moscow Mule potato chips with a label on it, with, like you said, with a little picture of a butterfly delicately placed on a blade of grass. And below that, does it state non-GMO product verified, or does it state flavored with stevia, or does it state contains less than 0.05% insect parts?
I'm going to go with the GMO thing.
You're correct. So it's non-GMO project verified.
Did I say that it had GMOs in it?
You said it's got plenty of GMOs in it, is I think what you said. Verified. So it's
That's
non-GMO
plenty of GMOs.
Verified. So you'll also notice that there's a certified gluten-free label on the left-hand side here. Yes, I did a little research into the non-GMO Project Verified. The non-GMO Project is a 501c3, a not-for-profit organization that looks to promote food labeling that's accurate, and they give their seal of approval for anything that's GMO certified. The thing I was actually looking to confirm and find out was, do companies pay to have this done? And it seems like, not surprisingly, they do, which means that Kettle Brand Chips decided to put some money toward getting this seal on their bag of chips. And to what end? I suppose to give some impression that these potato chips are healthy?
Yeah, it looks like their tagline for the chips, at least, are "It's great taste naturally." So I think they're going again, even though they're potato chips, they're trying to portray it as all natural. They're just potatoes. They're in a bag. They taste like a Moscow mule.
And of all potato chips that could be natural, these are based off an alcoholic drink, like with sweetness in it.
It's perfectly natural potato that tastes like
exactly. You know, it's beverage. Not even like the sea salt. It's a Moscow mule potato chip. But you know what? It still kind of works. That little butterfly on there is so light and ethereal.
Yep.
Yeah, that like right. I mean, it's maybe that's how I'll feel after I eat a bag of their chips. Moving on. Why, my favorite one.
The Cracker Tub.
The Cracker Tub. This is from Global Brands, which is actually out of India.
Sounds fake.
And
where did you get this?
I got this at a very small pharmacy with a lot of interesting brands in it.
I'm pretty sure this is from 1973.
I read every inch of the label on this one. It's a product of India imported through Scottsdale, Arizona. But it is the blank...
All the way to New York.
It's the Global Brands blank Cracker Tub.
Cracker Tub.
And is this the original Cracker Tub, the Little Bits Cracker Tub, or the classic Cracker Tub?
That's a tough one. It looks so old school. I'm going to go with original. This looks like the very first Cracker Tub. So I'm going with original Cracker Tub.
You are correct. This is the original...
Yes, that is... This literally is the original Cracker Tub.
That's kind of why it caught my eye, because what is the original Cracker Tub? Like, and do you think Global Brands out of India are the ones who originated
the Cracker Tub? Well, original has two meanings, so it could be like the very creative Cracker Tub. As well.
That's true. Well, I guess they've kind of self-fulfilled their prophecy there. But
I think it's more the first meeting. I think this is the very first.
Do you think they really? But usually, when I see the word "original" in food labeling, it means like the flavor, like original flavored potato chips or original flavored, you know, whatever Skittles.
The first, the basic.
But not only is this apparently the original Cracker Tub, but it's not even the original flavor. These are sour cream and onion flavors.
Sour cream and onion.
So, like, this is a bold statement for claim that they have the original Cracker Tub. But if you look closely, they got a trademark on that, Rod. There's a little TM right after the word tub.
Yep.
They have locked
it
down.
It might be the original. Global Brands, I mean, they had to be first in line to get that name.
Do you think it's original in that they've been doing it since the 1820s, like since anyone's been tubbing crackers?
Or is
no one just thought to call it the original? So
they may have been tubbing crackers in like wooden barrels in ancient times.
And if it was true, I would love to see a little backside label telling the story of the real original Cracker Tub. Or is this some playoff Cracker Barrel? I thought maybe
it's that deep. It's not that deep.
Once again, it caught my eye. I appreciated either the truth or the irony of this original Cracker Tub. And it's the little tub of crackers. It's just what it is.
And yet again, my eye is drawn to yet something else on the front of this label. An imported fine product.
It's just fine, folks.
It's fine. It's not great. It's fine.
Yeah, it looks like something you'd get in an airport now that I look at it.
Maybe, like in between customs. Now, have you had any of these?
I have. I would say they're fine. They're a fine product. All right, next, we've got some Chiquita bananas. And each banana has its own label that says Chiquita. But one of them, and most of them have a UPC code on them or something, but one of them had a unique label on it. And I'm curious, Rod, what you think that label said. Does it say, win your own fruit hat? Does it say, patassatastic, ! Or does it say, bop it? !
I wish it was win your own fruit hat, but I'm pretty sure it's not. Bop it seems so random that using my test-taking skills, I'm going to guess Bop It.
Rod, you are correct. And if you go take a look at the original image, you'll see it's an image of the toy, Bop It. You familiar with Bop It? It's a handheld toy that talks to you, and you like push buttons on it. Kind of like Simon. You remember the old game Simon where you push the colors?
Yeah.
Is it a
banana?
It's not a banana. It's just a piece of plastic.
Why is it?
Well, that's my point.
Advertising on a banana?
Advertising, you know, cross promotions have now gotten onto my fruit. It has no boundaries. Product placement in movies, but now even my banana is selling me a toy. And I'm not sure I have a problem with it, but I'm not sure I'm okay with it either. Where's the line, Rod?
Oh, man. I think if they're like stamping ads onto the banana peel, that would cross a line.
And it was only one of like six bananas that got the Bop It.
It's a little
label.
Distasteful. I think it's a terrible place to advertise. It's too small, and like you said, it's only one of six bananas. So I kind of almost feel bad for the Bop It people, whoever pulled the trigger on this one. I think it's just a horrible ad.
Yeah, I wonder what Bop It paid to get on this Chiquita banana. I mean, on one hand,
too much.
It caught my attention, but on the other hand, I have not yet bought a Bop It.
Covered a lot of ground tonight.
We've got a can of Mountain Dew Kickstart, which you might have heard from my favorite Super Bowl ad of 2 years ago, Puppy Monkey Baby. I was in the minority there. But here at the very top of the can, in the middle it says Mountain Dew, but the top it says electrolytes. And right below electrolytes, there are some words there. So Mountain Dew Kickstart, does it say electrolytes? Not a significant form of hydration. Does it say electrolytes for taste? Or does it say electrolytes? It's what plants crave.
Trying to reconcile in my head if Mountain Dew is at all responsible or if they're funny. I'm going to go with the first one. I'm going to say they're being a little bit responsible.
So you said electrolytes, not a significant form of hydration. That is incorrect.
Yes.
The actual label says electrolytes for taste. That is actually what it says.
That's ridiculous.
What does an electrolyte taste like? I actually didn't do my full research, but I'm assuming it's like salt maybe? Like because electrolytes are in Gatorade? I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, they have sodium, I think. But not sodium chloride, I think, which is salt.
And I almost think they say it's for taste as kind of a backwards way to say, this is not a sports drink.
Yeah, maybe it's some sort of requirement almost. Like, it's not there for health reasons. It's there for taste.
For listeners who may not have fully understood the last choice, which was it's what plants crave, that's a reference to the cult classic movie Idiocracy, which actually would have been pretty funny.
Yeah.
Running joke in the movie, it's in the future and everyone's kind of stupid, and everyone's crazy about this drink with electrolytes in it, and the joke is that they keep trying to give it to plants to make plants grow, because that's how they've marketed it, is the perfect hydrator. So
I almost thought Mountain Dew would have gone
It there. Would have been great if they did, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that they said for taste almost fulfills that Idiocracy prophecy. They didn't have to put the word electrolytes up there. They didn't have to point out
taste.
The electrolytes. But they decided to, because they thought that's what people want in a drink. In a Kickstart drink. And then once they do it, they felt the need to clarify that it's there for taste. So
it's not really kickstarting you. It's just for taste.
It's just there for taste. So I feel like electrolytes, it's clearly what people crave.
That's absurd.
To wrap it up, our very last entry in this little quiz is a bag of sweet, saucy, barbecue rib flavored popcorn. And you can also see this one reviewed on our website. And just before the word barbecue, after the word sweet, saucy, there's some language there. It's small, but I've smudged it out. And Rod, I'm curious to know what you think it says. Does it say sweet and saucy barbecue rib popcorn with real Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce? Or does it say barbecue rib popcorn, naturally flavored? Or finally, does it say barbecue rib popcorn, naturally and artificially flavored?
Boy. I'm trying to think if you can get barbecue rib taste in a popcorn completely naturally. I don't think so. I think it's naturally and artificially flavored.
Rod, that's fantastic an assessment. You are unfortunately wrong. It actually says that it is naturally flavored.
It
doesn't say artificially flavored. And this one is the one I learned the most from.
Yeah. Because does that mean they literally have to like cook up some barbecue ribs and drizzle it on the popcorn?
Perfect question. Because all this begs the question, then what is naturally flavored? So I went to our good friends over at the FDA.gov, who I'm not joking or being ironic. They have a fantastic website. It is thorough, navigable, and actually written very well and easy to read. That said, for all of its ease of reading, they don't necessarily have answers to a lot of these questions. The FDA has...
It's a little too dumbed down for
that. But they address questions that are out there, even if they don't have the answer. For instance, This is what they had to say about naturally flavored. The FDA has not developed a definition for use of the term natural. However, the agency has not objected to use of the term if the food does not contain added color, artificial flavors, or synthetic substances. It's a lot of words, but basically what it's saying is we haven't defined it, but we let people use the label without objection as long as it's not artificial or synthetic. So then you lead yourself to say, well, what's artificial or synthetic? They did define artificial and synthetic in Title 21, Chapter 1, Subchapter B, Part 101, Food Labeling A1, where they say the term artificial flavor or artificial flavoring means any substance, so this is artificial now we're talking about, which just to catch us all up, anything that's not artificial can be considered natural.
Right.
Okay?
It's reverse logic.
But now we're going to reverse back on it, because artificial is any substance that is not derived from spice, fruit, fruit juice, vegetable, vegetable juice, edible yeast, herb, bark, bud, root, leaf, or similar plant material, meat, fish, poultry, eggs, dairy products, or fermentation products thereof. So that's the definition of artificial. Anything that's not that is
not
artificial.
That.
But
gotcha.
Don't make the leap to say that anything that is that is defined as natural. Are you following
right.
me here, Rod?
Not really, but
so
I think what it means is the popcorn is made from barbecue.
It's made from spices,
right?
Primarily, which means it doesn't qualify as artificial, which means it's not defined as natural, but FDA will not object to them calling it natural because it uses spices or bark or derivatives of fermentation. It gets complicated.
Maybe it uses bark.
The FDA's website does a very surprisingly nice job really breaking this down for you. It takes a little bit of time and energy. When you look at the food and the food labels, you always want to say, well, does this have a definition? What does that really mean? FDA's website has done a pretty good job of defining certain things and then telling you what they haven't defined and why. And it gets bureaucratic, of course.
This is not a paid endorsement, by the way, by the FDA.
No, actually, they're sponsoring us. They dropped off a load of money.
Good, good. Wow. All right. We'll edit that out.
So I want to revisit the FDA stuff again someday, Rod, because there's a lot to cover there.
If there's one thing I know, it's that barbecue rib popcorn is completely natural. Just look at it. I'm going to try to grow some in my garden.
Hungry Dad. Visit our website at hungrydads.com. Follow us on Twitter at hungry_dads. This has been a Hungry Dads production.
They just need a cow to take a dump in the backyard.